Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lowell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. I am your host, Jeff Carrier, and along my side, as usual, is Seth Lowell. And we are back for part three of our Fantasy Football Draft Series special. So if you haven't listened to the first two parts where we covered the general draft strategy, avoiding some misconceptions, we also covered quarterback strategy, tight end strategy, and bench strategy. You might want to go back and start with there because we're going to be referencing, as we continue moving forward in this series, a lot of the previous episodes, information, notes, stats, and etc. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about this year's rookie class. Rookies can be that make or break. We saw a really good rookie class last year. Seth and I talked a little bit about this in the opening episode of the draft series. We're going to dive a little bit deeper in terms of who the rookie draft class is, who are some players that you might want to keep on your radar if you can get at a good value, and some players that you probably want to avoid. Now, Seth, most of these players, you know, you're going to get the upper echelon of rookies to get drafted, but a lot of them obviously probably won't be drafted. But it's going to be good to cover some of these because as the course of the season kind of goes on, you're going to have injuries and they're going to kind of emerge a la Alvin Kamara. So let's go ahead and dive into it. We've kind of broken this out into three general categories. It's really tough talking about rookies besides Saquon Barkley as a pure target, right? I don't think anyone else fits that category. Am I right, Seth?
I would agree. Yep.
Okay, so Saquon Barkley is the only person that we would say go out of your way or target right at their ADP. Everyone else, you know, either falls into the avoid category, get at a right or good value that you feel comfortable with, and just several other wild card rookies that we just don't have enough information on, especially this early in the preseason process. And, of course, where they are in the depth chart, they need to continue climbing and winning training camp battles. So let's first start off with a few of the avoid players. The really only kind of big-ish name early running back going on that we have under avoid, Seth, is is Royce Freeman. Not a huge fan of him coming out of college. I'm not too sure about Denver's offense. I know he probably get a really good crack at being the starter. Devontae Booker hasn't really impressed. All of these things have led him to have a 5.06 ADP in PPR leagues. At that level, someone unknown, I don't think is greatly talented at the running back position themselves. We see this happen all the time. We see someone who looks like they're going to be in line for all these touches and carries, but they just can't perform, a la Paul Perkins. The list could go on and on. For this reason, I have him on the avoid side versus the get at the right value side, although I'm sure it could be close, but I don't think someone like him is going to be slipping. A lot of people are excited about him and having at least a little bit better quarterback in Case Keenum.
Yeah, and I think with rookies, all we have to go on is their talent and how we feel about them coming out of college. And obviously, Royce Freeman went to a pretty good situation, but in that round where he's going, you're kind of also paying a premium on the assumption that he is going to start. So to your point, you're kind of paying for something that he hasn't done yet, which is always risky business when it comes to tight ends. You know, last year, you know, neither of us were very high on Samaje Perine. And he got the opportunities to perform and didn't do much with those opportunities. And now, even without Darius Geis, it looks like they're going to be exploring the trade market for running backs. So it's just a good example. Dante Foreman, another example, really hasn't quite broken through. The players that we did like from a talent standpoint last year, you know, like the Kareem Hunts of the world, like the Dalvin Cooks, even Joe Mixon to some extent, they all did fine. So if we don't like Royce Freeman, that's a good indication that even in the fifth round, that's still too pricey, even if he might potentially be the starter. Because like you said, getting a crack at a starting job is one thing. Keeping it is a whole other thing.
Yep, and Asmaji Perine is, you know, just a great example, kind of just going back only 1 year ago. The other two that we have under here, Nyheim Hines, typically getting drafted, definitely later in drafts. You could make the argument of, well, you know, if it's so late, then why is it important to maybe avoid a player? You know, it's opportunity cost is how I'm looking at it. You're missing out on the opportunity of potentially getting a different rookie that we like, or player, second-year player, whoever it might be. So with Nyheim Hines, he's a gadget player, much more of a pass receiver. And Frank Reich, the new head coach, is coming out of the Doug Peterson, Andy Reid tree, where they utilize a lot of running backs. We anticipate them kind of rotating in and out of running backs. So I see him getting touches, but I'm just concerned with the consistency, the type of offense with that system in place with Frank Reich, and the fact that, you know, we can't count on virtually any ground touchdowns whatsoever. And I don't know how many more carries than maybe 3 to 5 in a particular game. So Nyheim Hines would be the second one on the avoid list.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about our bench strategy the other day, right? And if for Nyheim Hines, who right now is fourth on the Colts depth chart, I believe, he is a complete unknown, a complete shot in the dark. Going in the 10th, 11th round, to be taking a shot in the dark on Nyheim Hines and passing on players that would fit perfectly into our bench strategy, like a Kelvin Benjamin, like potentially Allen Hurns, Sterling Shepard, or rookie wide receivers like DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, you know, probably not a smart bet to be taking a crack at somebody that may or may not see the field. Still too early.
Next is Nick Chubb, and they kind of have the trio of Cleveland running backs there. Cleveland looking more promising, looked pretty promising in their first preseason game. It is a preseason game. I like the fact that they do have the offensive coordinator Todd Haley there, but you know, let's. I think everyone. We've been watching a lot of the media, and ESPN in Cleveland is one of the hot topics this year. And I'm not going to be fully buying in, especially at the running back situation, where I don't, you know, Nick Chubb's not going to be catching the ball for one. So we're talking about PPR league. So we have one guy who's one dimensional. He's got Duke Johnson, who's going to be doing most of the receiving. He's got Carlos Hyde, who's also a veteran, still a good running back. Still definitely going to be getting carries. Notoriously a team that has been from behind with Hugh Jackson at the helm and actually really hasn't been a high-volume rushing attack because they're always playing from behind. So for all those reasons, I really don't think that there's a really good reason outside of, you know, your keeper dynasty scenarios that you really want Nick Chubb on your team for a redraft league.
Yeah, and I think he's, I guess, kind of similar to Royce Freeman. I mean, I guess Royce Freeman is number one, is going a few rounds earlier, so you're investing a higher round pick in Royce Freeman, and I guess he might have a little bit less competition, but I guess it all depends on how you feel about Nick Chubb's coming out of college, because he went to a spot where he should, and right now he's number one on the depth chart. Him and Carlos Hyde is probably, you know, it's going to be 1A, 1B. Duke Johnson is not going to get basically any carries. He's going to be the PPR guy. So I think in the end of the 9th round, 10th round, I don't think it's a terrible spot for Nick Chubb. So I think I disagree with you a little bit with Nick Chubb. But at the same time, he's no one that I'm going out of my way to target. He's up against a lot in terms of competition and the team that he's on. So I think his upside is fairly low, barring, you know, some sort of unforeseen injury.
Yep, and of course, you got to remember, especially with rookies versus these other players, when we're talking about rookies, there's a lot of unknowns. I mean, we see general managers swing and miss on players all the time. So naturally, us talking about rookies, there's going to be a lot of misses. And if you have a different feeling about Nick Chubb, then obviously I say go with your gut. The thing to remember when you're drafting rookies and you're filling out your bench strategy that we talked about in the previous episode is that you're in a redraft league. So this is not a best ball league. You have to figure out how to manage your bench week in and week out. Is Nick Chubb the type of person that is going to start week 1 and be the lead back? No, most likely not. So that means you have to be willing to commit potentially 3-4 plus weeks to someone like him or anyone that's probably a rookie. So that's why you probably don't want too many rookies on your team in the first place, but you have to remember that. So Nick Chubb, Alvin Kamara was a good example. Alvin Kamara was getting some touches early in the year, but he wasn't doing a ton until they actually moved on from Adrian Peterson. That caused some people to actually drop Alvin Kamara because the cost of holding on to him was too great when they had injuries and bye weeks was about to start. So something else to factor in. The last person we have under completely avoid, Seth, is DJ Chark. I don't think we really need to spend any time here. He's just, I don't think he's in on anyone's radar, but I figured I'm just going, at least from the top drafted rookies, and I believe he was drafted fairly early in the draft, you know, second round, third round maybe, to Jacksonville. So we can avoid him. Let's talk about some players that, you know, I'm a little on the fence on, depending on where I can get them, right? So we got Ronald Jones, Rashard Penny, and Kerryon Johnson. Let's start with them. They're kind of going in a fairly similar range. I know Rashard Penny and Ronald Jones going a little bit ahead of Kerryon Johnson, but for the most part, they're looking like they have a potential crack at the starting job, but there's still someone there either nipping at their heels in case of Kerryon Johnson, Larry LeGarrette Blount maybe on the goal line, maybe Theo Riddick during the passing. Rashard Penny, we've heard a lot of stuff from Chris Carson. Don't know what to believe in that, but they have an offensive line major issues there. And Ronald Jones, Peyton Barber running with the one still. So let's massage this a little bit and get into these three running backs with rookies.
So I think the running back that has the – I think out of the three running backs, Rashard Penny, Kerryon Johnson, and Ronald Jones, I think the running back that has the biggest competition in terms of you know, somebody on their depth chart that could be a threat to him is Chris Carson for Seattle. Because Chris Carson had a pretty good year last year before he was injured. I'm more worried about Chris Carson than I am worried about Peyton Barber, LeGarrette Blount, Theo Riddick. I guess, but with that being said, Rashard Penny was a first round pick in this year's draft. And out of the three of them should, or at least to this point, it seemed like the safest bet to start. So I'm more worried about Chris Carson than I am in Detroit situation with Kerryon Johnson. You have LeGarrette Blount, who's kind of a one trick pony in terms of he's going to get the goal line carries. He's going to be a goal line touchdown vulture. And then you have Theo Riddick, who is kind of like a Duke Johnson. Now that's obviously not great or optimal for Kerryon Johnson because you could look at that and say, okay, he might not get a lot of catches or a lot of touchdowns, so he's going to be one of those in-between players. But I also look at that and say he's got two one-dimensional players on either side of him. You know, what's to stop him with a new regime, new head coach in town? What's to stop him from, you know, putting one or both of the other two out of business?
Yeah, that's why I think in this area with these running backs, they do have upside. We just talked about with Royce Freeman. He's going in the same area. I'm going to lean towards one of these running backs. You know, Rashard Penny was drafted in the first round. They don't have a really great competition you feel strongly about. But in the same sense, these running backs still have to be good enough to unseat the other running back, you know. So until we see that happen, I probably let's talk about maybe where we feel really comfortable taking them to kind of give everyone an idea of when we start really feeling comfortable. Right now, it looks like pulling up the PPR ADP chart. Ronald Jones is going 505, and Rashard Penny looks like he's slipping a little bit, going to 511.
You can get Kerryon Johnson a whole round later. So I guess my question to you would be, would you rather have Kerryon Johnson end of the sixth or Rashard Penny end of the fifth?
I'm going Kerryon Johnson. I'm getting really worried with the Seattle running game right now. I was there last year. We talked about this all the time. That's why I liked Russell Wilson last year. They have no offensive line. They still haven't really change anything besides they're going to start with Dwayne Brown as long as he's healthy, albeit he is now at least 36 years old at left tackle. So that's nice, but major concerns on their offensive line. So major concerns across the board in terms of their running game. Their defense is looking worse and worse. We don't know where they're going to get a pass rush. So I guess the answer for me is Kerryon Johnson right now at the end of the six. I think that I wouldn't take any of these running backs, even Jones, in the fifth. I'd start looking at them in the six a full round later, see if I get lucky and get any value there.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they're all so close in my mind that I would want to take the one who's going later. And end of the sixth round isn't terrible value for someone that could be the starting running back. And you know, obviously all these players have flaws. There's not many running backs in the NFL like Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon, Saquon, Kareem, you know, even Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, who are going to be workhorses. You know, at this point in the draft, you're expecting when you grab running backs, they have question marks. They're flawed. They're not perfect. But to get somebody who is in line to still get a lot of carries in his rookie year with the upside, I don't know. I like it, especially considering some of the players that Kerryon Johnson's going around. You know, when you look at like Michael Crabtree, Sammy Watkins, Will Fuller, I think it's a good spot to take, especially if you're in a situation where you have zero running backs, which hopefully you're not in that situation, or only one running back. Kerryon Johnson would be a good second starter.
Well, remember what we talked about in the initial episode is we don't really like the wide receivers around round six, right? So,
yep.
So that's where I would start taking up some of these running backs. To your point, none of those wide receivers are really all that exciting or have upside for that matter. In the fifth round, there's still a couple other people that I prefer. I've been on the Deion Lewis kind of bandwagon recently, so I would take him, you know, over them as an example in the fifth round. Let's go over a couple of the rookies here, getting at the right value. The next one probably off the board, which is tough because his price is going down a lot right now because he's not going to be playing all preseason, is Sony Michel. Sony Michel right now going 6.08 right next to Kerryon Johnson, but my prediction is that it's going to be maybe even all as low as the eighth round or later. He's not going to touch the ball. Rex Burkhead is going to open up as a starter. So with that in mind, you haven't seen him play. You haven't seen him on the field. He had a little minor knee surgery, which is never good right before the season. You know, what's the right spot for Sony Michel, and what's your take on him in the backfield?
I think eighth, ninth round. This is obviously something that you want to monitor. Right now, it's August 11th, so we still got a long ways to go. As we get closer to the season, if you're in a draft and it looks like Sony Michel is going to be able to play, like his knee injury is not going to keep him out for like half a season or the whole season. If it doesn't look too serious, I'm taking a stab at Sony Michel because of his upside, because of how explosive he is and the offense he's in. You have James White, who is basically a glorified receiver. And then Rex Burkhead is really his only other threat as far as carries. So I like Sony Michel a lot. I think he's worth taking a stab in the eighth or ninth round, assuming that he's going to be able to get on the field. I just think that his upside is too great to pass on. And when you're late in the draft, you know, we talked about our bench strategy. He kind of fits into that bench strategy range where he's somebody that you could afford to stash for a couple weeks because of his upside. So I like Sony Michel a lot if you can get him in the eighth or ninth round.
Yeah, he's already dropped a round and a half in the last 10-plus days since around July 30th. He was around 5.01 pick. He's already down to the end of the sixth round. So they expect that to continue to reflect the current situation with him.
And it's an unfortunate timing for the injury, right, for Sony Michel. So I mean, hopefully he can start the season because they have no Julian Edelman for 4 weeks, right? They're really, really thin at the wide receiver position. So you would have to think that if he's healthy and can play week one, he could be in line for an expanded role with Edelman out. Considering some of their other receivers, you know, Kenny Britt, Philip Dorsett, Eric Decker, Cordarrelle Patterson are, you know, all leave a little bit to be desired. I think a lot of their production, at least early on, is going to be from the running back position And a lot of people expected that to be Sonny Michel. So I think if he can play week one or right around there, I think he could be a steal, but he doesn't come without risk, that's for sure.
Okay, next is Kalen Ballage and Jordan Wilkins in terms of rounding out the running backs in the get at the right value. Both of these people are going very late, almost free category. So you could make the argument where their current value is at is good value. So right now they're projected to be a potentially good value if you like them, if maybe you like what you see in preseason, and if you're reading up on the reports on them. But Jordan Wilkins, another running back out of Indy, he's cheaper than Nyheim Hines. They're going to be rotating in and out of running back, so that is still a concern. I would definitely still throw that out there. The only reason I definitely put him on the get out of right value versus Nyheim Hines is that he can actually run the ball in between the tackles. So anything happens to Marlon Mack, I know he just has a little bit of a hamstring issue right now, so that might be a plus. If you're in best ball leagues, you might want to scoop up some more Jordan Wilkins shares. I know I do have some myself, and he's got a potential to be the goal line back, unlike Nyheim Hines. So there's a big unknown, but he's also going last out of all three Colts running backs.
Yeah. I mean, you're wasting a late round flyer, and even though he's really nowhere to be seen on the depth chart right now, that can change very quickly when it comes down to even one injury. We saw what happened with Seattle last year. They had Eddie Lacy, right, and Thomas Rawls, and the next thing you know, Chris Carson's getting carries. Then you had Mike Jones getting carries, or Mike Davis rather getting carries. So it's a long season. You know, I'm not as high on Jordan Wilkins as you. But he's somebody that you're hoping for a stash when it comes to like our bench strategy that we talked about. He'd be one of those high upside players that you're stashing because you don't want to be in a position where something happens to Marlon Mack and you have to scramble to get him, even though he is a handcuff in a sense, and we're against handcuffs. So he's probably one of those borderline draftable players.
Yep, absolutely. And again, some of these players like Jordan Wilkins, Kalen Ballage, Same thing, right? Like, he's going in the 14th round. You may not even want him. You don't know. Got Kenyon Drake there. Got Frank Gore. Kalen Ballage, I liked him coming out of Arizona State. You know, I don't know if he's more of a slightly above average talent. I don't know if he's got real true NFL talent. But it seems that from last year with Adam Gase that they didn't really give the ball all the way to Kenyon Drake in terms of being a full workhorse until they traded J.J., and then Damian Williams went down with an injury. Then Kenyon Drake got his full workload. So I'm a little off Kenyon Drake on a different side note for that reason. But Kalen Ballage is going to probably have to share the ball. You probably don't want to draft him because the upside and holding on to him is just going to take too long. But I do like him as a player, someone to keep an eye on. And maybe if he is the last pick and you got a deep league, he might be worth a pick.
Yeah, and Miami was one of the worst rushing teams last year. I think one of 11 teams that averaged under 4 yards a carry, last in the NFL in rushing touchdowns with only 4 rushing touchdowns, and fourth worst in the NFL in overall rushing yards. This is one of the worst rushing teams. They bring in Frank Gore, and we just talked about Jordan Wilkins in Indy. Any Indianapolis fan or any fantasy owner that owned Marlon Mack the past few years realizes how annoying Frank Gore and how big of a drain Frank Gore can be on everybody else around him. So I'm staying away from Kalen Ballage.
Two wide receivers that we have in this category for getting at the right value is DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley. No surprise. The first rounders in the NFL draft, both looking at pretty promising roles on the offense, probably from the slot position. They're probably definitely more on the PPR side of things. But, of course, being rookies, I think they're going around, round 10 right now. I think one is worth grabbing. You know, do you have a preference over one? Do you like where they're going right now? Where are you trying to target maybe one of these rookie wide receivers?
I think I like DJ Moore a little bit more as a slot receiver, being able to play and make an impact immediately. Calvin Ridley, though, I mean, both these guys fit our bench strategy perfectly because they are both players that you know, seemingly maybe not week one, but with rookie wide receivers as the year goes on, they're players that you can start even if Julio Jones is healthy and Devin Funchess is healthy, right? They're players that you can start if you had to. And then if anything did happen to a Devin Funchess or a Christian McCaffrey in Carolina, even though he's a running back and get a lot of catches, or a Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley could be a stud with Matt Ryan in that offense. So I think they're players that, especially in the 10th round, you're not investing a high round pick. They're players that have a lot of upside because of where they were drafted in real life, because they're rookies, because of the offenses they're in. And they're players that if you had to, you could start right away. They could be role players for you. So I like them as good bench players to start the year with the hope that they're going to break out and have those big rookie seasons that we've seen other receivers have in previous years, like Odell Beckham, et cetera.
Yeah, I don't mind getting them in the 10th round. So I think where their current ADP is, I think it's pretty good value. I'm definitely a little bit more tepid in terms of high upside because they are slot receivers. I don't see them really getting a lot of touchdowns. But that being said, they should be on the field week one. You know, I don't know what their snap percentage is going to be. That'd be something to monitor. Playing out of the slot, so that's something that you have to feel that's pretty encouraging as a rookie. Everything looks and sounds good right now, so I like the spot. I don't know if the upside is as high as maybe you or other people might think, but I think it's a good spot.
Yeah, because considering a lot of the other players that are going around, when you look at Giovanni Bernard and Cameron Meredith and Mike Williams, who couldn't get on the field last year, Jack Doyle, Marquis, there's just so many players in that range. I think I'm always looking for players that have more upside if all things are equal. So,
yeah, I think a good comp in that same exact range is like a Sterling Shepard, right? Like, does anyone say Sterling Shepard has a tremendous upside? Not really, not a ton, you know. And I know these guys were drafted a little bit before Sterling Shepard, but Sterling Shepard was an early second round pick, real early. These guys were in the mid-20s. They both kind of, you know, look the same, kind of play the same, play out of the slot. So I think that would be a good comp, and they're going at 10.06, 10.09, and 10.10, like literally right next to each other.
Yep.
Last person we have, get at the right value, is the only tight end, is Mike Gesicki, and should be the starter maybe out in Miami. A lot of unknowns, can't really block, but he's more of a vertical pass-catching guy, good for fantasy purposes. I think the key here with Mike Gesicki is, and I don't know if you really want to draft him or not. Again, I don't think I really don't want to go into a season with someone like him, because he could go in and play, you know, 25 snaps and catch one ball for you, but it would be to check the snap percentages starting week one. How many snaps is he out there?
In our tight end strategy, we talked about if you miss out on the Kelce, Ertz, and Gronk, and you wait and you grab like Njoku or OJ Howard, pairing them with another tight end, you know, taking two stabs at it. So Mike Gesicki would be one, and I'd add Hayden Hurst as well, who right now is the number one on the depth chart for Baltimore at tight end, even though that's going to be a pretty sketchy offense. I think grabbing a Hayden Hurst or a Mike Gesicki as your, you know, as your second tight end with David Njoku, Jack Doyle, Tyler Eifert, insert whatever crappy tight end in there, as your kind of like your, you know, your fallback option.
Right.
Knowing that you don't have to play them, you can play the other one. But if they have upside, if they, you know, if anything crazy happens, you can always put them in there. So.
Yeah, Mike Gesicki comes out week one, and all of a sudden he's getting 50% of the snaps. You're like, okay, great. You know, maybe I can move on from Tyler Eifert or some of the many names that you just mentioned, Jack Doyle, a lot quicker. So I think that's a good strategy as well, and we could definitely include Hayden Hurst in that category. The other players that are rookies set that we have is wild cards. Most of these players aren't going to be drafted. There's probably one or two names that most people are aware of. Wild card in the sense that, you know, it's just a complete unknown, either through depth chart, through pure talent, the offense. Let me rip them off here, and you give me any kind of feedback on any of these names. Cortland Sutton, Christian Kirk, James Washington, Anthony Miller, Dante Pettis, Traquan Smith, Michael Gallup, Antonio Callaway.
Yeah, so out of that list, I would say – I think that a big thing is going to be to look at the how these offenses perform as a whole early in the season. You know, with the new coach for Arizona, new quarterback tandem, Sam Bradford, Josh Rosen, I want to see if that offense can sustain – a third option. They already have Fitzgerald, who's going to get his. David Johnson, who's going to get his. Is Christian Kirk going to be somebody that you can rely on as a slot guy in that offense? I think out of this list, the only guy as it stands today on August 11th that I would consider as a late-round stash would be James Washington, just because Pittsburgh's offense is so high-powered. He is somebody that, you know, later in the year you could consider – potentially being able to start, and then if anything happens to Antonio Brown or Juju, he's somebody that would have a lot of upside right away. A lot of these players, you know, I'm just not too excited on as third or fourth options. Anthony Miller, you know, Pettis, Callaway. So I think they're all undraftable. I think James Washington is worth a late round stash. And then Christian Kirk and Cortland Sutton, same thing. I want to see how those offenses look. And, you know, if you're in a deeper league and you take Cortland Sutton or Christian Kirk in one of the last couple rounds, I don't think that would be terrible. And you'll assess how the offense looks, what their snap percentage is. Are they getting on the field, you know, not pulling Laquan Treadwell? And then, you know, having a short leash with them, depending on what you see.
Yeah, I think I'm right on the same page with you on all of these players. In terms of talent, what I saw coming out of college and doing the scouting, you know, for our dynasty leagues and rookie drafts, my favorite player on this list is Christian Kirk. But, you know, I don't know what the offense looks like. I don't know if they could support a third person. They don't have Bruce Arians there, so I've expressed concern over that several times. Most certainly don't think Cortland Sutton is going to get a ton of action after DT and Emmanuel Sanders with a really unknown offense in Case Keenum, who is a prime candidate for a regression season. So, you know, I think Dante Pettis might have some upside in best ball leagues because he's kind of a fast, over-the-top, versatile weapon in the Kyle Shanahan offense, but I doubt he's ever consistent. And most of these people won't turn into anything. So, and Tre'Quan Smith's interesting just because he's got Drew Brees throwing him the ball. He's got, out of all these people, James Washington's got Big Ben, Tre'Quan Smith's got Drew Brees. So, you know, in terms of getting the ball to the wide receiver, those would be the best quarterbacks to do so. That is the roundup of running backs of the running back class. A few people to keep an eye on. We like a few people that we're probably drafting, but we're not going to go, as we mentioned, with our draft strategy. We're not going to go crazy on running backs. You might pick one, maybe two, but I think really, Seth, that's really about it. That's the main idea there. Rookies have been notorious for underperforming value, underperforming return. So those are the rookies. That is episode 3 of the Fantasy Football Draft Series, and we will be back with our next episode breaking down early season schedule benefits.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that 3 times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull. We'll catch you next time.